Gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Light is everywhere, isn't it? We see it all the time. I mean, there's light in here, of course, the sun's shining, but there is so much light that scientists tell us now that we don't see the stars, all the stars, unless we go way far out into the panhandle or perhaps West Texas or Russia, and then you can see the Milky Way full. Here, we just barely see a glimpse of it. And even in the countryside here, there's always a pole, a light pole by the house or the barn that shines. So you can be driving and see the lights all the way out in the middle of the fields, far away from any town or city. We worry about darkness, and we banish the darkness as much as possible. We know the night is long and full of terrors. Then we hear a reading like today saying, you are the light of the world. And it stops us in our tracks. We think, maybe, I think maybe, sometimes I have days when I'm light. I have other days when I'm not so light. I'm not so sure about it. Maybe we aren't light because we don't know that we're light. Remember summer evenings when I was a kid? You could go outside and there would be fireflies or lightning bugs is what we call them. And you'd be barefoot, the grass would be wet, it would be cooling off, and you'd run through the yard chasing them. You'd get a mason jar, you'd put a little grass in it, cut some holes in the lid, and you'd try to catch them. They were always just out of reach, but over time, you catch enough and you seal the jar and you take them inside and fall asleep with them by your nightstand. Then in the morning, you'd get up, you release them back out so you could catch them all again the next night. We love light. And our world is full of fantastic and wonderful beings of light. There are mushrooms that glow. There's worms that glow. There's fish in the sea that put off light through bioluminescence. My daughter's favorite is the anglerfish. It has a little thing that hangs over its head, and the tip of it lights up like a bug so that other fish will come thinking it's food, and the anglerfish then eats the other fish. They are light. Jesus has been traveling all over Galilee and who knows where all else. He's been drawing crowds. People come for healing. They come to hear him speak. And he gets a crowd today, sits down with his disciples, and starts to speak. What we hear today is part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, though, is probably, Jesus probably gave that more than once. Probably maybe even a collection. I mean, if you could imagine sitting and listening to one person speak the whole thing, read it, you'll see it takes a little while, and all the questions that would come as people ask, it was probably given multiple times, different places, and this was gathered up. So it's kind of a little bit of Jesus' greatest hits on how to live in the kingdom of God. He wasn't writing books. There wasn't a pamphlet. Despite TV and no TV and no social media, people found him and they wanted to hear what he had to say. They would have heard, you know, he said something like this, but they would want to come and hear it for themselves. Jesus starts off the Sermon on the Mount with what we call the Beatitudes, which is a list of blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are you when people blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely accuse you. Now, these don't really sound like blessings to us. They don't sound much like blessings to me either. And then some translations will put happy, which even gets further away from what they sound like. Happy are you when you mourn. No. But the true word is kind of something more close to congratulations. Or they are to be honored. They're to be envied. I like the Welsh. White is their world. It's very poetic. The idea is these are the people that God congratulates. These are the people that God honors. These are the people that God loves. These are us. We know what it is to mourn. We know what it is to feel brokenhearted. We know what it is to be falsely accused. But God loves us, and so God does not leave us there. See, the second half of all those is something that God does for them. Blessed are those that mourn because they will be comforted. Blessed are you when people falsely accuse you because God's going to take your case. See, God pours out his love and his grace on us day by day by day until we are full with God's love and God's grace. We literally shine with it. We are the light of the world. Being the light is so much opposite of what our world seems today. We feel like we're losing. And many of us have truly lost. We've had a death in the family. We've lost our home due to the flood. We've lost a job. But that's not the end of the story, because God is with us. God is pouring his love and his grace into us daily. We come here to receive that, to have it poured into us. And Jesus reminds us of who we are. We are the ones that God loves. We are the ones who receive God's grace. And who we belong to. We belong to God. We are the ones to be congratulated. We're the ones to be envied. No matter what our outward circumstances, we are the people that God loves. We are the people that have received grace upon grace. We are the light of the world. And we can't be anything else. We can only be what we are. But then maybe we're not light because we don't know what light is. About a year ago, we had an eclipse. It was a great lot of fun. My husband bought us the little glasses. I don't know how many of you all got the little glasses so you could go out and look at it. I mean, we didn't have the full eclipse, but it was still fun, right? You watch the sun or the moon looks like it's eating the sun, and then it goes away. And we watched it on TV where the dogs were barking in other places, chickens were going to bed. I mean, this was darkness that was fun. It was really cool. Darkness in an unfamiliar hotel room at 2 a.m. when you need to find the bathroom and you don't know where the furniture is not so much fun. At that point, you want a flashlight or some light from the window, anything. We need light to help us find our way. Jesus tells us that we are light for the world. Now that leaves me with a couple of questions. What is light and what does light do? Light is electromagnetic radiation that operates a bit like matter, but it's not matter, and it operates a bit like energy, but it's not energy, and that's as far as my science knowledge goes. So scientists out there who understand this stuff can explain it to you better. But basically, light behaves like energy, but it's not energy, and it behaves like matter, but it's not matter. Light goes out in all directions, spreads out everywhere. Light can be reflected, like from a mirror. In our children's sermon and the other services, we would shine a mirror on different people's eyes, and they would, But the mirror is not light. Light can be refracted like a prism, and it breaks into a rainbow of colors. Light illuminates, it allows us to see, it gives us warmth, and it's necessary for life and growth and health. Plants have to have life for photosynthesis to grow. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." That's something I can get behind. Go, Jesus, shine. I love it. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. But then he says to us, "You are the light of the world." And that has some implications for us as followers of Jesus that are a little more complicated. Jesus continues, "A city built on a hill cannot be hidden." Well, that's right. You don't build a city up on a hill to hide it. If you want to hide it, you better put it in the valley. You put it on a hill so you can show it off. And of course, it's also more defensible. Before Jesus was born, Herod built a palace on the Rock of Masada. It's a big plateau out in the middle of the desert. He spent several years building this palace up there. It was fantastic. Lots of palaces, really. Stables, all kinds of stuff. And in 66 AD, the Romans put a siege to it, and they couldn't get up there. They actually had to, bucket by bucket, build a ramp that went up the side of Masada until they could get in and break the siege on the people there. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Why would you? And neither do you light a lamp and put it under a basket. In Jesus' time, the lamps were oil lamps. It's a clay thing like this, filled with oil with a bit of cloth sticking out, and you light it. You don't carry those around, because the oil will spill, and it will burn you, and it will get all over everything. Instead, you put it on something up high, where the light will spread out everywhere in all directions, and everyone can see. You don't put it under a basket, because it will go out, or your basket will catch on fire, and then you lose your basket. We are the light of the world. As such, we cannot help but behave like light. We are God's energy and activity in this world. We help others to see clearly. We give them warmth. We show them where and how God is present in their life and in their world. We don't try to hide ourselves. We live our lives out in the open, with open arms, open hearts, and an open house. We are the light. Now, this doesn't mean we have to be obnoxious about it. We've all met people who are obnoxious about being light. Don't do that. That's not very shiny. But it does mean that we are light without apology. You are the light of the world. It is who we are, after all. Maybe we aren't light because we don't know what light does. This week I have heard and read stories from friends about what light has done. There was a mother-in-law. She was new to being a mother-in-law, and she met the other mother-in-law. Mother-in-law A was very kind to mother-in-law B, who was not very kind to anyone. Mother-in-law A said it was difficult, but she just kept being nice to her and inviting her to things and, you know, all the things you do when you blend a family. Mother-in-law B never really seemed to get it, but other people in the family noticed. And they mentioned it to her. And so now the daughters and daughter-in-laws and sons-in-laws and aunts and uncles and other people see this light going out in all directions, and they pick it up. I had a friend who had gone into a store, and she didn't have very much to get, so the clerk waved her to come ahead. There was another woman who had been there, but she was still gathering things, and she didn't have all her papers filled out, and she just went ballistic that the clerk had invited this other woman in, and she flamed out on my friend and the clerk and everybody else in the store. The clerk went ahead and finished my friend's order and gave her her receipt, and she went on her way. But when she got to the car, she looked on the receipt, and the clerk had written a smiley face and "I'm so sorry" on her receipt. Love does not have an agenda. Love does what needs to be done and allows God to shine through. Jesus ends his discussion of light with, "Let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and praise you, give glory to your Father in heaven." Let your light shine before everyone, everywhere, just like that oil lamp in the house. And guess what? People are watching. You may not know it, but they are watching. They notice what we do. When we are light, we reflect the light of Christ into the world wherever we go and whatever we do. We shine on everyone we encounter. So what do we do? It is both simple and very challenging. Do what is right when you know it's right. Now, sometimes we don't know what is right, and that's okay. But more often, we do know what is right. We just don't do it. Light does it. Do what is right when you know it's right. Tell the truth. Honor those who are vulnerable. Welcome strangers. Work for justice. Live in hope. Our circumstances may not look like we should have hope, but we do, because remember that grace upon grace has been poured into us already. We have hope. Live it. Shine it out there on others who feel that there is no hope. Listen to those with whom we disagree and see them with God's eyes. Light looks on the world with God's eyes. Light looks on others with Christ's heart. Light moves with the Spirit's guidance. We are the light of the world. We will do what needs to be done. We will help as much as possible, and we will harm as little as possible. Every action shows that we're truly loved by God. We truly believe that God is at work in us and in the world through us. We let the glory of God and God's grace shine out everywhere and onto everyone we meet. We don't know how far that light is going to go or who it will reach. The light from the stars is billions of years old. We still see it. Well, maybe we aren't light because that just seems like too big of a job, more than I can handle. Our first winter in Norway, we had very young children, 6 and 1, and we decided to go up into the mountains to play in the snow. We came from Corpus Christi, okay? The kids had never seen snow. We got in the car after work. We drove up. It was dark. We found the parking lot. We saw the cabins going up the hill, and the power went out. They had a key in our hand and no idea which cabin that went to, nor how to get there. We sat there in the car trying to figure it out, and suddenly a light went on in the cabin, just up the hill a tiny bit. Someone lit their lantern and came out, shouted down to us, came down, helped us find our door, helped us find the snow shovel to shovel through a path up to the door, and then went on his way. He may not remember us, but we remember him. Be the light.